Welcome back. It's Beyond the Box Score. I'm Dan Schneier. That's Jacob Gibbs. Mike McDaniel, Omarion Hampton. Mike McDaniel, Jacob, the generator of explosive run opportunities. Omarion Hampton, a better explosive opportunity back than we thought in year one based on the numbers. What do you got for us, Jacob Gibbs?
Yeah, so I've been digging into running back explosives, so gains of 15 or more yards, and posting the cutups on Twitter. So I've been doing that for basically every back in the league, anybody who reached like the double-digit mark. And what stood out to me about Hampton was he was up there with, I think only Trevon Henderson had more explosive runs. He was up there tied with Quinshon Judkins in terms of rookie season explosives, which is really impressive to me because he only played 9 games. And two of those games, he was very limited as he was working his way back from an injury. In terms of the percentage of touches that actually resulted in 15 or more yards, Hampton was tied with Derrick Henry as RB8. And so to me, that really does stand out because anybody who watched the Chargers knows that it was a mess for most of the season with the offensive line. Freaking Justin Herbert was leading the league in QB hits. He was constantly under pressure and getting hit, and it affected the run game as well. And still, this rookie ends up, you know, creating explosive plays in this situation. I do think that's noteworthy because now we get healthier offensive line, hopefully. And then obviously all of the talent in the world in this passing game. They bring in some better tight end blockers, I think, that will help the run game. And then, of course, Mike McDaniel brought in. And that could really boost things. So I've got stats on McDaniel we're going to get to for sure. But I had you dig into the Miami Dolphins film, which I'm sure was a blast watching the 25 Dolphins. I said that ironically, but this sicko actually thought it was a blast. He loves it. So tell me what you saw in the run game.
I don't think there's a better coordinated run game in the NFL. And that's so much. It says so much when you consider some of the other coaches that we've given flowers to, whether it be Liam Cohen, Ben Johnson, even Kyle Shanahan and that crew of play designers. When it comes to designing the run game, it's just so special watching what Mike McDaniel does with Devon Achane. And yeah, when it comes to Achane, he's special as well. I think he had 34 explosive touches. That was RB1, 20 rushes at 15 plus. And there's cutbacks, there's make you miss, there's vision plays in there for Achane. But there's also design-based wins for this Miami Dolphins run game. And it was really fun to watch. So they leaned on a few plays that I thought were really interesting because I think they'll be able to get them going in Los Angeles with the personnel that they have here with the Chargers. And one of them was out of shotgun. And we've been seeing, by the way, early in minicamp, Justin Herbert's been in shotgun. They've run a lot of quick game out of it with his right foot back. And I think you see a big play that they run in the run game out of shotgun. And it's the motion man coming across to the opposite side of where the run is actually designed. So he'll be motioning, let's say, right to left before the snap. And then there's a shotgun run to the right with all three of the interior players pulling. So that means the center and two guards both getting out on the move. And then it kind of gives the running back a lot of space and a lot of different options with the addition of just pre-snap motion, eye candy on so many different snaps. I've seen better usage of the fullback or the H-back. It depends who you're asking. In this offense with the Dolphins, it was a fullback. And we know we'll see that with the Chargers as a weapon in the run game with this team, even than like the Ravens with Patrick Ricard. They're just a better version of what they're doing here with Mike McDaniel. And I think he's going to bring that over. Now, he did also have Brewer, and Brewer is the center on the Dolphins, just got an extension. And he was a puller. He climbed that second level better than any center in the league last year. He used him as a weapon in the run game, McDaniel. That'll be Tyler Biadasz this year, who the Chargers sign to play center. Not the same player at all, but at the same time, the Chargers may have competitive options on the interior at left and right guard. I believe competitive relative to the Dolphins last year. They can also use as weapons in the run game. There's a lot more power gap than I expected, I think, from a Mike McDaniel run game. And that's something I think they'll pull and carry over here because Mike McDaniel compared him, and this was a moment, Jacob, and for the listeners, this is a funny moment, of Jacob making me feel how old I actually am, and that happens all the time now in my life. But I mentioned that Mike McDaniel compared Omarion Hampton so far in minicamp to Terrell Davis, and I realized and learned Terrell Davis was before Jacob's time. He was 1 year old when Terrell Davis entered the NFL. Basically the star of my childhood at the running back position. We did some digging on him. And I compared him last year, Jacob, to a version of Jonathan Taylor coming out of UNC. I actually think that Davis comp is better. Similar high cut runners, But why I think that is better is because he believes, and I think this is true, Amarian Campton has a little bit more upside in the zone run game. That's something that Terrell Davis just starred at with Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan's dad, back in Denver with John Elway in that 1998 season and in that range where he went 2,000 total yards back-to-back. It's possible here too, man. I mean, Omarion Hampton has that potential. I watched a little bit of him as well, which we'll get into. But yeah, this scheme, man, it's as good as it gets right now in the NFL from the run game standpoint. And it's a lot more power gap than I expected to see.
That's why we have Boomer Like Dan on the show to tell us who the hell Terrell Davis is. That's funny. Man. What I've got on the screen here, this is from our buddy Ryan Heath, who definitely doesn't know who Terrell Davis is.
No shot.
And it's historical data over this decade, 2021 through 25, looking at play callers in terms of actual fantasy points per game produced at the running back position and expected fantasy points per game. And of course, Ben Johnson at the tippy top here. Both him and Zach Robinson are influenced by having two of the best running backs of this generation, you know, and Mike McDaniel has Devon Achane. Now, I don't want to take anything away from Achane, who's very near that group. But you see McDaniel right here with Kyle Shanahan, and these have been the most productive play callers for fantasy. So I did some digging on that to give you some additional context. Fourth in fantasy running back points on runs. So on running back runs, fourth in fantasy points during the McDaniel era, which is 2022 to 2025. That was behind Detroit, Baltimore, and Atlanta. And again, really, really good offensive setups there, really, really good running backs. And I think to me, Miami's the one who stands out of that group. Obviously, Achane extremely talented over these past 2.5 years. But the offensive line play, the quarterback play to me is like clearly behind what we've seen in Baltimore and Detroit. Third in points per run, only Detroit and Baltimore ahead. So third in points per run ahead of Atlanta on running back runs. They were third in fantasy points on running back targets as well during this time. So it all adds up. Only Detroit and San Francisco, Ben Johnson, Kyle Shanahan with freaking Christian McCaffrey and Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah.
And awesome talent on the offensive line for a lot of this time. Only those teams have scored more fantasy points at the running back position over the past 4 years than Mike McDaniel's Miami Dolphins running backs. And another thing that stands out in addition to the coaching there with those teams and the offensive lines and everything is that those offenses have just been better. The systems have been better. The teams are winning more. It's a better setup for running backs. The Lions have the fourth most wins across that sample with a record of 45-23.
Right.
The Niners have the fifth most wins with 43 wins. Miami has 35-33 across that time. You know, they're right in the middle in terms of wins. If you look at like the percentage of the time that they played with a lead, again, they're 16th, whereas the Niners are first, then Detroit is fourth. Detroit's first in offensive points across that sample. The Niners are fourth. Miami's 11th. Like, Mike McDaniel's done a good job creating offense, but the team setup has not been nearly as good as these two teams, which are just absolute print shops, fantasy point factories, and the Dolphins are right behind them in fantasy points scored at the running back position. This is a really, really, really productive system for the running back position, which is why people are so excited for Hampton and for the potential here. The Chargers this year, for what it's worth, they come in 12th, roughly 12th in Vegas win totals and implied points for the season. I do want to point that out to you, Dan, because you and I can get really, really excited about these offenses and the potential that we see. For what it's worth, Vegas is sort of tempering expectations. The Jaguars, the other one I wanted to bring up to you. Did you see that their win total is only like 8.5, I think? Maybe it's 9. Very odd.
I did see that, yeah.
Yeah. So those two did stand out to me, but that there's definitely upside for more than that, as we've seen from McDaniel's past. Basically every year except for this just disaster season in 25, they've been one of the best offenses in the league. The other thing I wanted to point out was the percentage of offensive touchdowns from these offenses that McDaniel has engineered that's come from his top running back. So in his first season, it was split between Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson, but then after that, every year he's had a running back ranked top 5 in terms of the percentage of offensive touchdowns accounted for. Raheem Mostert had 37% of the offense's touchdowns in 2023. That was running back 4. And then Devon Achane over the past 2 years has been at 35% and 32%, ranking running back 3 and running back 5 in the offensive touchdown share. So these offenses have been very productive, especially for the running back position. And Hampton, man, like, You see it on film with everything you outlined in terms of how the fit could work here with the blocking and everything. And then the talent on the offensive line is there if healthy, I think. And then obviously we're the thing that we're probably the most excited about for McDaniel is Justin Herbert, right? Like being able to actually see what the ceiling is for Herbert being paired with McDaniel here. It's very, very exciting. So to me, it all, obviously health will affect this. Offensive line health, Hampton's health, all of that will affect it. But to me, it comes down to the usage. I think it's pretty clear that McDaniel is one of the best play designers in the league and play callers and has a long history of running backs being productive. So I think a running back from this backfield is very likely to produce in terms of like the total number of running back points. It's as good of a bet as any, I think, to be like number one among teams this year. You know, I would probably put San Francisco ahead of it. I would probably put Detroit ahead of it.
Sure.
You can maybe put the Bears, but like, I think it's up there. The Chargers are probably going to be one of the most productive backfields this year. So how much of that goes to Hampton? That's the only real question I have. I've got stats on it. I'm curious how you're reading this out, how confident you are that Hampton can be the back who stays on the field all the time. He's somebody you watched a lot of film on in college. You watched the rookie film as well. Mike McDaniel has split his backfields at times, but Hampton, I do think, is profiled as a guy who can, part of the reason he was so highly sought after is he can handle a big workload. He can play in all situations. Are you still feeling confident in that as we enter year two?
I'm still feeling confident in that because there was nothing on his tape that suggested he needs to be taken off the field. For example, I felt like watching him at USC, there was more meat on the bone as a receiver because when he was actually used as a receiver there, he looked natural in doing so. And I felt that way as well in his rookie season, though it was more of a limited role. I don't think he's going to go out there and run like arrow routes and like these wheel routes in the red zone that we saw from Achane on a consistent basis. But I think they're going to surprise and call it occasionally where the defense isn't expecting it and hit on them because that's what Mike McDaniel does. And the one difference I'll say is this, watching the tape of them so closely back to back, the Miami run scheme and then Hampton's rookie season with the Chargers. Yeah, maybe this is partially because of lack of trust in the offensive line, but there were so many obvious times where Achane's ability and vision, something that was highly discredited and highly misunderstood coming out of A&M, where he put it on tape and made it obvious there, to kind of get skinny between those gaps in between the tackle, I'm sorry, in between the guards and the center, that was lacking on film for Hampton. There were a lot of times Hampton just bounced it out, didn't trust it, didn't let it develop. And that's something, saw a little bit at UNC, but it's more so, I think, just a lack of trust in the line. He's getting so many guys back that I wonder if that's just something we're going to see go away and we're going to see it mesh so quickly with him behind this scheme because there's going to be so much more trust between Hampton and his offensive line. And I said earlier, watching McDaniel on tape, I saw them use Brewer, their center, as a weapon. I just think that's good coaching. Like, I think they did that because he was the best weapon in the run game, not because McDaniel relies on a center for his run scheme, thinking back to some of the other years in the run game. And so a player like Rashawn Slater is coming back, should be more than fully healthy with more than enough time at left tackle. Prior to his injury, Jacob, he was one of the best at the NFL in the run game. He was good in the pass game, but he was at his best climbing to that second level, used as a weapon in the run game. So I expect that there will be a confidence there because Hampton's going to be able to trust a player like Slater to execute, gets that second level. And that's going to give Hampton a little more confidence to be a little bit more patient and let things develop more in the run game. Something he just wasn't doing last year, in part because his line was so bad.
For sure, man. The Slater, like, if Slater's healthy, that's such a huge addition. I mean, I think he's every bit as good as Joe Alt, especially when you talk about the run game. He's probably a lot more impactful, honestly.
Better in the run game than Alt, yeah.
One of the best linemen in the NFL, I think, you know, in terms of the climbing, run blocking. And so, like, that's a huge, huge addition that we just didn't get to see at all last year. If he's healthy, that to me, like, that's as impactful, maybe more impactful than like Linderbaum. I just talked about Ashton Jeanty in his profile, like being added to the Raiders. And that's the highest paid center of all time. Like, that's how impactful this addition is. There's so many things contributing to why how the Chargers could be a lot better on offense this year. Okay, so let's talk about the usage from last year. Then we did get some signals that this is a bell cow back in terms of potential to fill that type of a role. So Hampton had a 63% snap rate on the year, and that includes a 57% snap rate in week 5, the game that he got hurt. Snap rates of 31 and 37% in his first two games back because he was kind of working his way back from that injury after he missed 7 games. Overall, 63%. His snap rate pushed as high as 88%, 83%, and 81% in individual games. Those were affected by injuries to his backfield mates. So I'm not, we shouldn't expect 88%, but still being trusted to be on that field, on the field that much at all as a rookie is really, really rare. And it does show that, like, if there are injuries, this is somebody who can't just play all the time. Also, even maybe more noteworthy to me, because I'm like super deep into this fantasy stuff, you know, like his route rates were as high as 74, 73, and 61%. And those are really, really high rates. And this is a different coaching staff. And again, there were injuries to his backfield mates. But as I look at, you know, the Keaton Mitchell, Kamani Vidal backfield mates here in 2026, I don't see those guys as passing down specialists or something like that. I don't see them as likely to take him off of the field unless he really surprisingly struggles in pass protection or something like that. But he was actually decent in the receiving game last year. And if you do remove these two games where he was working his way back from injury and he played, you know, 31, 37% of the snaps, in the other games, he had a 60% route rate, which is really, really, really high. So a 60% route rate and a 72% snap rate. If you look at last year's running backs overall in the season, there were only 11 who had a route rate above 50% even. His was 60% in these healthy games. Those running backs were ridiculously productive for fantasy. Like, there were 11 of them. They finished as running back 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 9, 11, 12, 14, 16. The worst one was running back 16. Like, for fantasy, getting on the field and running routes is important. Getting receptions, getting targets is really, really important for fantasy football with the way that, you know, scoring breaks down in fantasy. Even in non-PPR leagues, it's more productive on a per target basis. It's worth more points than a rush in non-PPR leagues. Yeah. And definitely not even a reception, just a target, because targets, you get out in space. It's just different than a rush where the expectation is 4 yards, which is 0.4 points, you know? And then in half PPR leagues, full PPR leagues, targets are worth way, way more than rushes. And so it's really important to be able to find running backs who can play this type of a role. And I think that we've got the potential here for Hampton to be something like that. I don't think we should expect 70% snaps, 60% routes, but if he's able to play 55, 60% snaps with 45, 50% routes, that's a really good role. And it could come in an offense that's really good and has been really, really fruitful for running backs specifically. And the run game could work, and he could be a huge part of that. He could be the leading part of that. Do you have any concerns at all that, like, they brought in Keaton Mitchell? He was one of the guys that Mike McDaniel was really, really excited to get this offseason, that he could be the Devonte Chin in this backfield and, like, take, you know, some of that explosive play, like, cut into the work? Or do you think he's just a 5 to 8 touches per game change of pace guy, and this is Hampton's backfield?
I think he's a change of pace guy. Now, the question is, will Vidal also be a change of pace guy? Because now you're two change of pace guys, and this offense does change the pie a little bit for Hampton. But I don't necessarily know if it matters. This team's going to be in scoring position a lot, in my mind, early, often, game after game after game, with McDaniel calling an offense with Herbert there, with the offensive line talent they have, the receiver talent. So I just think Hampton has as good a chance as anyone to be in that, like, Derrick Henry type situation that we've seen the last couple of years, where we're looking at like 14 to 16 touchdowns over the course of a year. Because if you look even at what McDaniel's done, you mentioned it earlier, how many running back touchdowns he's had in that offense, even if a few of these touches from outside the 20 go to Mitchell or Vidal and they score from there, this is going to be the running back who's in that red zone for this Chargers offense. And he's going to be super, super valuable in that role if this offense takes that jump. Think of what helped James Cook be so successful last year as well. In addition to all the longer runs that I think are within his repertoire, watching him play, especially at UNC last year, less so just because of the injuries, but he has that 20 to 40 to 50 range touchdown upside as well, Hampton. So there's just multiple ways in my mind for him to score on a weekly basis in one of the better offenses in the NFL, at least what I think will be.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, the idea of it being split three ways is not great. You don't love that. That is a little scary, but I really don't even think he needs to be the full on bell cow.
Yeah.
If this offense can reach the heights that we think it can. And then also, like you said, he has that volatility to the upside where he could start ripping off some of these big plays and it could get really kind of absurd on an efficiency per touch basis. And so here's where I've got Hampton ranked for fantasy this year is running back 9. I have him just behind Devon Achane and Chase Brown and Ashton Jeanty. To me, there's sort of a tier break here. And I've got Derrick Henry just behind him. I see all these backs pretty similarly. But I do think there's probably more upside for Hampton than there is for Achane. And really, he could be one of the top scorers at the position this year, and that wouldn't surprise me. Does this look about right to you?
It's about right to me. At the same time, it's like the problem, I can't move any higher just because I love every back. In this top 10, man, this is a good year for top 10 running backs. I haven't found one like this. Like, I don't know what my strategy is going to be in fantasy, but I'm in auctions, I'm going to want to try to get multiple of these players. I just feel like there's so much. You're in such a better spot with any of these 10 guys than a lot of the receivers that are being drafted in a similar range to all 10 of them, really, or especially the back end of this 10. So I don't know if I can move them up. It'll probably be close for me with him or Achane. I like Achane so much after watching him. Brown, similarly, but I think it's fair to put him anywhere you want, really. Like, there's upside for him to score as high as the fourth best running back in this class, I think, if everyone stays healthy.
Yeah, I feel really good about it. All right, we're going to be drafting Amari and Hampton. We're going to be drafting Ladd McConkey, I think. We're pretty in on this Chargers offense. We've been talking about some of the more polarizing offenses, some of these high upside offenses, whether that be the New England Patriots, the Chicago Bears, Jacksonville Jaguars. I spent some time talking about Ashton Jeanty and the Clint Kubiak-led Raiders. There's been a lot of change this offseason, whether it's QB change or offensive line change or coaching change. And I think that's going to be really, really relevant. And so I don't, you know, maybe you have a negative flavor left over from Ashton Jeanty's rookie season or Amari and Hampton's rookie season. It's a new season, right? I think the best that you can do, do try to let that go and look forward to what it could be, because I think the upside is really high for Hampton. So check out those videos if you have not, the individual player profiles. And then if you are into longer shows, we've been putting out some really interesting live shows. We've got Ryan Heath coming on and helping Dan and I look at what's been predictive at every position in terms of previous season stats, the predict future seasons fantasy scoring. And so we did just do a running back position where we got into Hampton, Jeanty, and a little bit of the stats that matter here. Did the quarterback position as well. We've got wide receiver and tight end coming. So do check out the longer episodes. You got anything else for the people? Plug God.
Just please hit the like button whenever you watch. Make sure it's the first thing on your mind to click like for us. That really helps us grow this page. Gets a video jumping in the algorithm. Some of these have popped off a little bit. We'd like them to pop off more. Just get us going for the start of this season, because we got a lot of great content coming your way. Otherwise, have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus, Beth and Rip are back in Dutton Ranch.
This life here is gonna work, isn't it?
We'll make it work.
Starring Kelly Riley.
A legacy is a beautiful thing, but only if it survives.
Cole Hauser.
What's gonna work?
Ed Harris.
Family is the only thing worth fighting for.
And Annette Bening.
I can make this a lot harder for all y'all.
And peace will have to wait.
Dutton Ranch, new series now streaming on Paramount+.